goes. I ran out of batteries, but I found some. Today, this morning, we're going to continue our series called What If? And we're going to ask the question, what if I control my words? Have you thought about that? We've talked about thoughts, we've talked about our tongue, but what if I control my words? Now, each Sunday as I've stood up here before you, I've said as I've prepared these messages, each week they seem to get tougher and tougher. Well, this is a tough one. What if I control my words? When it comes to today's topic, this one's a tough one to master, I think. But you know what? We have a biblical support or biblical basis behind this topic. In James chapter 3 and verse 8 it says, "But no man can tame the tongue." No man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. You know what? As Christians, as people, we can't tame our tongues. It's impossible, the Bible says. It's not like trying to tame a wild animal, domesticating it. But you know what? We can learn to control it, can't we? We can learn how to control it and experience God's blessings and His power in our lives. In fact, I believe that it's necessary in the Christian life for each of us to learn to control our tongues. James says that although it's impossible to control the tongue, we can keep a tight rein on it. He said these words in James chapter 1 and verse 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Wow! What a knife to the heart. Learning to control the tongue is not an optional pursuit for us, folks. It is a demand, and God takes it very seriously on controlling our tongues. So we're going to look at this discipline today of how to control our tongues. But before we do, would you pray with me? Father, this is a tough subject. One in which I know I struggle. I'm sure I'm not the only one in this room, but even if I am, I'm preaching to me then. So, Father, I pray that you'll open our hearts, our ears, our eyes this morning. Allow us to see these principles, how we can try to control our tongue and not hurt people. Father, just work in each of us where we need work. And we'll give you the praise and the glory in the name of Jesus. Well, we first need to look at the problems that we get. It's not difficult to see the problems that are caused by the wrong use of words. Now, I don't know if you're guilty of them, but I am. Sometimes I don't use the right words when I talk to people. I hurt their feelings, I create enemies, I do all kinds of things. Now, I'm probably the only one in this room that does that. So I'm preaching to me this morning. Believe me, I am preaching to me. But you don't have to look far. Because we hurt people who are closest to us, our spouses, our close friends. We say things we don't mean, but we're angry. We say them. Folks, wrong words can destroy relationships. I want you to know that. Wrong words can destroy relationships. Do you know what causes the most divorce in this country? It's not infidelity, as many would think. It's not talking about finances or the lack of finances. It's the accumulative words that are spoken throughout the marriage. That's what I found in counseling with people. The words you speak to your spouse. Or sometimes the word you fail to speak to your spouse. All of these words take their toll, whether you speak them, whether you don't speak them. Sometimes your silence of what you don't say to you, the ones you love, is more deafening, more deadlier than anything you could speak. We've been lied to all of our lives by a phrase. You learned this when you were young. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You ever heard that? Sure. I taught my kids that. Dave, just sticks and stones will break your bones, but names will never hurt you. That's a lie. Because it does hurt. Words hurt. Sometimes words hurt more than a broken bone. Words hurt. Words hurt for a lifetime sometimes. Hard to get over what people say. Secondly, wrong words can make a bad situation worse. Whenever we speak negative words in a negative situation, well, have you ever noticed how things get out of hand? They get out of focus. I can remember back when Ruth and I were first married, some of the arguments we had. We didn't have any idea what we were arguing over later. Can you associate with that? You're mad at each other, you argue, you fight back and forth, but you don't remember what it was. But you said the words and they hurt. They hurt. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt. Wrong words can make a bad situation worse. Let me see if I can give you an example. You're at work. You've got a problem to deal with. Maybe it's one of your employees, your boss. So you get around the water cooler and you start talking about your problems to others. Now, I know we as Christians never do that. We never get on the telephone and say, you know what Pastor Pierce did? You know what he said? Folks, we do that. And then when it gets back to Pastor Pierce or to someone else at the water cooler, doesn't matter. It's changed. Have you ever played telephone? We used to do this in children's church. We would have 400, 500, 600 kids come to church. I'd line them up around the sanctuary and I'd whisper in one kid's ear. And he'd turn and whisper. And by the time it got back, it was completely different. That's what our words do. Telephone. Telephone. So we need to ask the question, what good will it do? What good will it do if you take control of your words? Well, first of all, you'll become a better person. A couple of sermons ago, I quoted Norman Vincent Peale. Now, I told you I didn't believe in or agree with a lot of his, or most of it, actually 99.9% of his theology. But the fact is, he did say some interesting things. And he said, change your thoughts and you'll change your world. Well, let me give you another principle to live by. Change your world, your words, and you'll change yourself. Listen to what James said in James chapter 3 and verse 2. We all make many mistakes. But those who control their tongues can control themselves in every other way. The key to overcoming bad habits is to start with your tongue. Start with the words that you say. First of all, you need to build others up. I have a granddaughter who is a, what's the word I'm looking for, Ruth? She builds people up. She's a
encourager.
She's an encourager. She would come into this church and she would say to Elaine, "My, that's a nice outfit you've got on today." And it is a nice outfit. But she wouldn't even know Elaine, but she would say something like that. We need to think before we speak. We need to build each other up. It's so very, very important. Taking control of our words is a way that we can minister to other folks. It strengthens them. It builds them up. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen." Folks, words have the power to tear down, but they also have the power to build up. And that's what we need to do. We need to be Christ-like. Can you think of any time in the Bible Jesus ever tore anyone down with his words? He didn't. Oh, he got mad at the money changers. But think of the words that he used. "Oh, you vipers." Did that tear them down? No. That told them what they were. Now, I don't think we need to be blunt like that, although sometimes maybe we need to. But the fact is, think before we speak. Use words that will build people up. Our words have the power to make people want to quit. I've seen situations in church where something has been said that the person just walked away from church. We need to be encouragers. Encourage people with our words. Many people think the spiritual gift of prophecy is a negative gift, that prophets speak with anger about everything. Many people say that about preachers preaching sermons, that a sermon should be negative. Yeah, I don't believe that. I believe that we should build people up with our words, with our sermons, with our Sunday school teachings, with everything we do. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 4:3. "But the one who prophesies speaketh to the people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort." Did you get that? Strengthening, encouraging, comfort. That's what we're to do, is to encourage and strengthen and comfort folks. That should be the goal of every sermon that is preached. That should be the goal of every Sunday school lesson that is taught. And that should be the goal of every conversation that you and I have. And then third, we need to give God the glory. That's another advantage of controlling our words, of giving God the glory. In Psalms 63 and verse 3, it says, "My lips will glorify you." Taking control of our words is a way that we can minister to others. They strengthen them, they build them up. In Ephesians again, Paul tells us, do not use any unwholesome talk. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that they may benefit those who listen. I said that words have the power to tear down. They also have the power to build up. And your words, spoken properly, can make the difference in a person's life. Depends on how we use them. So very, very important. Then we must put the words into practice. Where am I at? I've lost my spot. I'm ahead of myself. Don't say everything you know. Do you know people who have to have the first and last word on everything? Sometimes that's us. But you know what? We need to let God speak through us. We don't have to be the ones that give the first word and the last word. Do you know, my dad was probably the smartest man I've ever known in my life. And he let everybody know it. He had to have the last word. He had to tell everyone how smart he was. Now that's sad. We don't have to have the last word on everything. We need to let other people speak. I was having dinner one time with some Christian friends, and we were discussing Christian music. And one lady talked about one particular artist, somebody that you're all familiar with, and she said, you know, he's my absolute favorite. I really enjoy him. I am so blessed every time I listen to his music. Well, another person at the dinner table said, oh yeah? Well, let me tell you about this person. Do you know that he's been in a 12-step program for being an overeater, a bulimic? He has problems merging and plunging and whatever people do, vomiting his food. And you know, I'm sitting there eating, and I didn't want to hear all that. The group didn't need to hear all that. Now, if that person chose to come out at some point and say, you know, I've had an eating disorder, a problem, that's his business, isn't it? But for a person who doesn't even know him, you know what these 12-step programs have in their title? Most of them, anonymous. Anonymous. There's a reason for that. But this person had to have the last word, didn't they? The Bible tells us this in Proverbs 12:27. A man of knowledge uses words with restraint. Before you speak, consider saying nothing at all. Because you don't have to say everything you know. There are people that in 2 minutes give you their everything that they know. Don't say everything that you think. Actually, some people who tell us everything they think, that's all they know, isn't it? That's it. What a shame. What a shame. In Proverbs 17:28, the Bible says this: even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. Sometimes it's just best for us to zip the lip, to keep quiet, to let others talk and us just sit there and listen. We don't have to have that last word. Solomon, a wise man, even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent. You don't have to say everything you think. So before you speak, keep this principle in mind. Silence looks like knowledge. Let me give you an example. I've got all these degrees. Doesn't mean a thing. My mind doesn't remember things, especially now like it used to. But I've got some great books. We're at the last SAMS meeting, and Bob Kubek, is that his name?
Koopa
was doing a game. And he broke us up into groups.
That's Larry.
Larry. Broke us up into groups. And Mr. Smarty Pants here won. And he did. I was amazed at the answers you came up with, because I couldn't come up with these answers. You gave them to him? Is that what it was? Yeah, well, however he got them was wonderful. But I'm sitting there with a Cheshire grin on my face every time a question was asked, and old Larry would look at me and say, well, what's the answer? And I said, I don't know. But I had that grin on my face like I knew it, you know. Listen, silence is golden sometimes. They will think you're the smartest person in the world if you're silent, especially if you don't know the answer, which I didn't, which is very interesting. Don't repeat everything you hear. It's so important that we keep silent sometimes. Solomon also said, a perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Now, I know as Christians, we never gossip. Did I hear an amen? I didn't, did I? Because we're all guilty of it. Every one of us. We do that. Not because we want to hurt somebody. It's just, sometimes it's just conversation with us. But we do. We all gossip. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Think about it. I think this is something we need to hide in our hearts. Did it ever occur to you that when you talk bad about someone, God considers you perverted? That's what this verse says. He considers us perverted. Now, it may be hard for us to believe, but that's what the Bible says. And in my humble opinion, it's truer. It's true. God would much rather keep us quiet. Solomon said this, he who covers an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Repeating everything we hear destroys friendships. Besides, hearing everything from our friends, especially Christians, is like looking at Wikipedia on the internet. It's not all true. You can go into Wikipedia, and I don't know whether you know it or not, you can edit it. You can edit it. You can go in and change it. It's not true. So everything that we hear from our friends, folks, don't take as gospel. Because it's not. This is why we need to think before we speak. And then consider what we pass on to other people. Well, these three steps will get you started in taking control of your thoughts, of your words. And when you control your words, you are able to take control of other areas in your life. The Apostle James said this, we all make mistakes, but those who control their tongues can also control themselves in every other way. So I have a homework assignment for you. This week, try putting these three steps into practice. Don't say everything you know. Don't. Don't say everything you think. And then don't repeat everything you hear. Again, Solomon says in Proverbs, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds the tongue is wise. Do you want to be wise? Then don't say everything you know. Do you want to be wise? Then don't say everything you think? Do you want to be wise? Then don't say everything you hear. Would you pray with me? Father, such a simple, simple message. A simple, simple verse from the book of James. Yet one that could have profound impact on each of our lives. Lord, now I know I'm guilty and I'm sorry. And I will work on it. But help me to control my words. Not only with my spouse, with Ruth, with my family and friends, but with everyone I come in contact with. And Father, may that be each of our prayers this week, hopefully for the rest of our lives. Lord, thank you for this passage. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. Amen.